It's time to check the facts with PolitiFact Virginia again, and we're joined by Sean Gorman of PolitiFact Virginia on the line. And Sean, the recent debate between leading Senate candidates Tim Kaine and George Allen seeking their party's nominations for a Senate seat in the 2012 elections provided, well, a plethora of claims and counterclaims for you fellows to check out. And so today I'm going to ask you about four recent PolitiFact Virginia items in particular, two statements by Tim Kaine and two by George Allen in that standoff debate at the Capitol earlier this month. And first of all, Kaine said during the debate that George Allen cast, quote, the deciding vote for the 2003 Bush tax cuts. You checked the facts on that, and what did you find?
Well, this is an example of Kaine using Allen's 2001 to 2007 record in the Senate against him. And there's no doubt Allen supported the Bush tax cuts. They were passed in two phases, and Allen voted for them both times. In 2001, legislation lowering tax rates passed the Senate by a vote of 58 to 33. Now, a second bill passed in 2003 lowered taxes on dividends and long-term capital gains, among other provisions. Now, that 2003 measure barely passed the Senate by a vote of 51 to 50, with Vice President Dick Cheney casting the tie-breaking vote. Now, Kaine's campaign said that had Allen voted no on the 2003 measure, it would have failed by a vote of 51 to 49. So by Kaine's rationale, Allen therefore cast the deciding vote on putting the tax cuts into place. Now, it's true that Allen's vote for the 2003 measure led to a 50-50 split, setting up Cheney's tie-breaking vote, but it was Cheney who cast the true deciding vote by breaking the tie in the Senate. And if any one of 50 senators who supported the tax cuts voted differently, then the result would have been different. And by the Kaine campaign's rationale, that means 50 senators cast the deciding vote. So it's an exaggeration to say Allen cast the deciding vote. And so we rated this this claim false.
False on the truth meter. Any one of those senators, as you said, could have been said to have cast the deciding vote.
Right.
Then George Allen also got a false on the truth meter. He made a statement that our federal government has lent $2 billion to the state-owned oil company of Brazil to allow them, I guess the Brazilians, to explore for oil and gas, unquote. Was that, you rated it false, and tell us why.
Yeah. To support this claim, Allen's campaign cited postings on several websites, including Forbes magazine. Now, the articles focus on a tentative offer that the Export-Import Bank of the United States made in April 2009 to consider providing up to $2 billion in financing for Petrobras, Brazil's state-owned oil company. Now, our research found that the articles had been loosely interpreted by Allen's campaign, and some of the information was not accurate. Now, the Export-Import Bank is an independent federal agency that provides financing, including loans, loan guarantees, and export credit insurance to foreign buyers to help them purchase U.S. goods and services. The bank's spokesman, Phil Kogan, told us Allen's statement is not correct. Kogan said the bank's tentative offer was an expression of the bank's willingness to consider up to $2 billion in loan guarantees for Petrobras. Now, in February 2010, the Export-Import Bank agreed to guarantee a $308 million private loan to Petrobras made by J.P. Morgan Chase. Now, that loan guarantee is helping Petrobras buy goods and services from about 150 companies, according to Kogan. Now, there were no other financial agreements between Petrobras and the Export-Import Bank before their loan agreement expired in April 2011. That loan agreement has not been renewed, so the Export-Import Bank did not directly lend any money to Petrobras, let alone the $2 billion Allen claims. All it did was back a $308 million loan guarantee that a private bank made to the Brazilian oil company. So we rated this claim false.
Two falses for those two leading contenders for the Senate. But you also found a true statement made by each of the candidates in that debate. Tim Kaine said the national debt increased $16,000 every second that George Allen served in the U.S. Senate when he was previously in the Senate. $16,000 every second. Wow. Well, you found it to be true. Explain, please.
Sure. Allen served 2,193 days in the Senate from January 2001 to January 2007. That's 189,475,200 seconds. Now, during that time, the national debt increased by $2.95 trillion. So if you do the math, that means the debt rose about $15,500 for each second that Allen was in the Senate. Now, rounding up, that is $16,000 a second. But there's an issue with holding Allen accountable for every appropriation from the day he entered office until the day he left. The federal fiscal year runs from October 1st, 1 year, to September 30th, the next year. Now, Allen entered office on January 3rd, 2001, and the spending votes he made, the first spending votes he made, were for the budget that started on October 1st, 2001, some 9 months after he entered office. His last spending votes were for the budget ending September 30th, 2007. Now, Allen did vote for the roughly 50 appropriations bills that came to the Senate floor during his tenure. So from October 1, 2001 until September 30th, 2007, the debt rose by about $3.2 trillion. Doing the math again, that means that Allen voted for budgets that increased the debt by about $16,900 for every second Allen was in the Senate. And that's slightly higher than Kaine's estimate. We also did the math looking at how much the debt has risen under President Barack Obama. It's increased nearly $50,000 a second since he became president. The bottom line is, when measuring the debt increase under Allen, Kaine is correct in saying it went up by about $16,000 a second. So we rate the claim true.
Okay. Now, George Allen also got a true on the truth-o-meter. He said in that debate, the United States, quote, is number one in the world in energy resources and Russia is number two. You check the facts. What do you find?
Yeah. Allen based his statement on reports from the Congressional Research Service, a nonpartisan research arm of the legislative branch. Now, the CRS and our own research relied on data from the Energy Information Administration. That's a federal agency that's a clearinghouse for information on energy production and consumption. Now, the CRS converts different types of fossil fuels into barrels of oil equivalent. And since coal, oil, and natural gas produce a different amount of energy when burned, this allows for an apples-to-apples comparison. Now, according to the CRS, the U.S. has the highest amount of proven fossil fuel reserves that equates to about 973 billion barrels of oil. Russia is second with roughly 955 billion barrels of oil equivalent. Now, the CRS also projects the quantity of undiscovered reserves of fossil fuel in each country. Now, the U.S. and Russia still retain the top two spots in that measure. The U.S. is indeed the king of coal, holding 27% of the world's reserves. Now, America ranks fourth in natural gas reserves and 11th in oil reserves. There's a couple caveats to consider in evaluating this claim. World fossil fuel reserves are always changing. New fields are discovered. Estimates for existing fields are altered. And resources are extracted and burned. Some reserves, I should also point out, may not be tapped due to the economic climate or the difficulty and cost of extraction. Now, the CRS says the U.S. has the largest proven reserves of fossil fuels, followed by Russia. And data from the Energy Information Administration shows Russia has the largest overall volume of the three fossil fuels. But the American lead in coal, which produces very high amounts of energy when burned, means the U.S. narrowly edges Russia. So we rated this claim true.
Okay. PolitiFact Virginia joins us each Tuesday morning at this time on WCVE Public Radio during Morning Edition to check the facts. Thanks again, Sean.
Thanks, Wayne.